Sefer Names through Parsha Framshir. For Parsha Shmos, we'll be looking at the Sefer Vayoel Moshe by the Satmar Rebbe, Yoel Teitelbaum. He wrote the book around 1960. He lived from 1887 to 1979. And the book, as many of us are familiar with, is controversial in the sense that it takes a very strong stand against Hakamas HaMedina, against Zionism and living in Eretz Yisrael. So often in the past, you go to the Israeli Day Parade, you see the Neturei Karta. Question is that in line with what the Satmar Rebbe was describing? What do we believe? So just a very brief introduction. So in the Sefer Vayoel Moshe, he has a Maamar Shel Shavuos, where he explains why the establishment of the State of Israel and Zionism is a violation of a Shavua that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to wait, as we'll see the Gemara at the end of Maseches Ksuvos. There's a Maamar Yishev Eretz Yisrael, which he describes that even though many assume there's a mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael nowadays, he tries to show that Bezman Hazer, where Eretz Yisrael is full of Tzionim, that perhaps there would be no mitzvah. Then he has a Maamar called Lashon HaKodesh, where he tries to show that the Tzionim are luring others, otherwise good people, by using Lashon HaKodesh and corrupting it and turning it into a Chefcha Shel Aveira, and therefore a person shouldn't speak modern Hebrew. Satmar Rebbe pushed speaking Yiddish more than Hebrew, and in the girls' schools, he insisted that we shouldn't teach them Lashon HaKodesh and teach them Chumash from a Yiddish translation. It's hard, honestly, to say over a summary of the Sefer Vayoel Moshe in an unbiased fashion, as one of the tenets of modern Orthodoxy is the State of Israel, the Chashivos of the Hakamas HaMedina, but it's very important to know what other Jews hold and what other Jews value, and just to be able to talk in an intelligent fashion about the topic. So it really stems from the Gemara and then Ksuvos and Daf Kuf Yud, where the Gemara tells us there were Shalosh Shvuos, there were three oaths that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made with the world, and one is that the nations of the world should not afflict Klal Yisrael more than necessary, Yoser may die. Number two, the Jews should not rebel against any other nation, and we shouldn't go and try to forcibly take over the land of Eretz Yisrael and try to have the Geula come early. So that's the backbone, even though you could argue it's an Agadat Gemara. The fact that the Gemara tells us that there's a Shvua, Klal Yisrael take, that we shouldn't try to forcibly take Eretz Yisrael to make the Geula come early, that would essentially be the source of not wanting or not feeling it was appropriate to take Eretz Yisrael. One of the primary responses to that is that it is an Agadat Gemara, and the Trumas HaDeshen has a very famous rule, which is that Ein Lemedim Medivrei Agada. Right, he says it in the context, very interesting context, that if someone doesn't have a bris milah, so does he put on tefillin on Shabbos, since you always need two osos, the Gemara says. That two osos would be the os bris and the os Shabbos. During the week where we don't have the os Shabbos, we have the os of tefillin. But let's say a person can't get a bris milah because meso achiv machmas milah. Let's say he has a family of hemophiliacs and he had two sibling brothers that died when they tried to get a bris milah. So he's pater from bris milah. So should he wear tefillin on Shabbos? So the Trumas HaDeshen says the whole concept that the Gemara is talking about of the two osos, not la halacha, that's an agarata. We can't paskin halacha based on agarata. So based on that, many say that how could we paskin whether or not you should do yeshiva at Yisrael based on the agarata Gemara and the ksuvos? So the Hakamas HaMedina, many said, was the Aschalta de Geula, was the first step in the Mashiach process. So the Satmar Rebbe said that the Geula cannot happen so long as there is a Medina. I mean, the Satmar Rebbe wanted the Jewish state not to exist. And if Jews don't leave, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will wipe out the Jews. It's a major yesod in Satmar belief. He's held it was usher to vote or take any government funding in Eretz Yisrael. Anything that's supported or approved of the government. And the Satmar schools in Israel actually gave up a lot of money, and still do, to further this belief of the Satmar Rebbe. Now, the Tosfos Yontif in Maseches Avos, he notes that on the Mishnah which says that one miracle in the Beis HaMikdash was that the Kohen Gadol never became a Balkeri on Yom Kippur. He never had a seminal mission on Yom Kippur. And the question Tosfos Yontif asks is, why is that a miracle? You're talking about the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, the holiest man on the holiest day in the holiest place. And there's a concern he's going to become a Balkeri, a seminal omission, which comes from Taiva. So Tosfos Yontif answers that the way the Yetzer Hara works is that in times of the greatest Kedusha, that's when the Yitzhahara tries its hardest to counteract with Tumah. So since, specifically because it's the holiest man on the holiest day in the holiest place, that the Yitzhahara is working overtime, that it's a miracle the Kohen Gadol never became Baal Keri Yom Kippur. So Sabbat Rabbi says that the thought of Geula, Kuli Amalo Pligi, everyone agrees is the most Kadosh thing in the world. But that's how, said the Sabbat Rebbe, the Yitzhahara convinced people of Zionism. There's a public demonstration of Zionism. Sabbat Rebbe says we should be there screaming. So the extremist view, it is mainstream to rebuke those who believe Zionism, not Kamas Medina. Now, maybe it shouldn't be together with Palestinians and maybe not to use vulgar language, but the Sabbat Rebbe was in favor of, perhaps in a nice and civil way, demonstrating against those who try to support the State of Israel. Why did the Sabbat Rebbe call his Sefer Vayoel Moshe? So the most simple reason is that he was a descendant of the Yismach Moshe, Rav Moshe Teitelbaum, who lived from 1759 to 1841. So in the phrase Vayoel Moshe, you kill two birds with one stone. You have Yoel, and you have Moshe, which was his Alta Zedi. So where does Vayoel Moshe come up in the Parsha? So it comes up in Perek Bey's Pasuk Chaf Aleph. It says that Moshe was in Midian. He promised his future father-in-law, Yisro, that he would not leave Midian without Yisro's permission. This is by Yoel Moshe, Lashevis Esaish. He promised him. And Rashi quotes from the Medrash that the word Vayoel is a language of a Shvuah, that Moshe took a Shvuah. And then, only then, Yisro gave Moshe his daughter Tzipora. So the Sabbat Rebbe asks, why did Yisro feel the need to make a full-fledged oath with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name? We're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu here. If Moshe Rabbeinu tells you something, you should believe him. He saw water from the well rise to greet Moshe. He saw other miracles. So the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says that even though there was a bed that was created during Bina Shmashos before Shabbos, it was given to Adam and Gan Eden. Afterwards, it was used by the Avos, then in Mitzrayim, and somehow Yisro got his hands on it. He put it in his bedroom, but he couldn't come near it. But when Moshe saw it, he uttered some letters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, and he had access to this bed. So you're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. Yisro saw Nisim Geluyim, miracles that Moshe was mamish, the holiest person in the world. He couldn't trust Moshe to say that he wouldn't leave Midian without his permission. He needed to put it on the books and have an official Shavuah. What's going on here? Sabbat Rebbe's question. So Sabbat Rebbe answers, the pshat is that Yisro was nervous, that Moshe had such a love for Klal Yisrael that he would see them suffering so much, such a tsa'ar, avoda kasha, befarech, he would want to go and save them earlier because of his avas Yisrael. So if he didn't take a shvuah, he would not leave early. But now that there is an oath, certainly Moshe wouldn't leave early, even if he felt that urge. Okay? Sabbat Rebbe says, similarly, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu make us take a shvuah, like the Gemara in Ksuvo says, not to bring the Geula early? Because he knows that we have such a taiva for Mashiach. He knows that we have such a yearning for Geula that he had to put a shvuah in place, just like Yisro had to put a shvuah in place for Moshe to say, hold up, even though I know you're going to want this so badly, the shvuah is there, Sabbat Rebbe says, to say, but you still can't do it. Reishis Michas Gula Senu. The Gemara says Gula will come when we have a Sanhedrin. We have to establish a Jewish government. We have to get rid of Amalek. Then the Beis Hamikdash. So Rav Shechter, he writes in Mikveh Atzon that Aschalta de Geula, it's not Nevuah. It's not some type of prophecy. It's not a Chiddush. It's straight from the Gemara. The Geula is not one time period, not one Maisa. It's a process that involves three steps. Getting Eretz Yisrael and establishing a government is step number one. But again, from a modern Orthodox perspective, we believe that Aschalta de Geula can be seen in many avenues, many channels. We believe that the government can be a channel for Aschalta de Geula. The Ramban is Agdama to Sefer Shmos says that Sefer Shmos is called Sefer HaGeula because it ends with the Mishkan. And even though it didn't start with the Mishkan, so the ultimate goal, as even the Satmar Rebbe agreed, all of Klal Yisrael has a yearning for Geula. It might be debatable, controversial, when and where and how that Geula will take place, but ultimately, we all can unite in the fact that we want the Geula very badly, and I'm Yirtzeh Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring it speedily in our days.